Welcome into my podcast and welcome into my visit with Matt Adams from Hot Shot Sports Bar and Grill. And before I get into that, I want to remind you that if you're a baseball fan this time of year, a great present to think about would be tickets for the baseball fan in your life to an evening with the Cardinals. And this year, the featured guests will be Cardinals Hall of Famers Jim Edmonds and Chris Carpenter. Now, the past 6 years, this event has raised $1.3 million for families battling childhood cancer. Special feature has been added to this year's event, and that will be a special VIP conversation with the president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak. An evening with the Cardinals will take place on January 26th at St. Louis Union Station Hotel Grand Ballroom. There's a private photo session, silent auction, dinner, cocktails, and the Q&A with Jim Edmonds and Chris Carpenter. To be a sponsor or to get tickets, head to thenccs.org. That's thenccs.org. So recently at Hot Shot Sports Bar and Grill, we had a live event with Matt Adams. A great crowd was there to meet Matt, and of course he was very gracious with our young fans, especially taking pictures and signing autographs and saying hello, and was just wonderful. And we get into the beginning of his career, signing with the Cardinals, going through the minor leagues, coming to St. Louis, some of his best moments, the home run off of Kershaw in the postseason, getting traded away, coming back, what that meant to him, and then what lies ahead. Would he want to come back to St. Louis? So all that is covered with Matt Adams in this special podcast from Hot Shot Sports Bar and Grill. And don't forget, you can join the party for all St. Louis Blues action this season at one of Hot Shot Sports Bar and Grill's 11 area locations. Score a hat trick of savings with great food and drink specials available during every Blues game, including Bud Family beer specials, Jack Daniel's cocktails, the Blues Sampler appetizer, $4 Blue Note bombs, and the all-new Golden Bread cocktail for $5, and that's at Hot Shot Sports Bar and Grill. Hair Saloon for Men, their home base is right here in St. Louis, founded in 1997, and they now have 16 locations in St. Louis. And for $22, guys, I take both my boys there. I go there and get my haircut there. They get the haircut, the complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, and a complimentary shoe shine, all that for just $22 for an extra $5 stress-relieving scalp massage or neck shave, and that's all at Hair Saloon for Men. I'm coming to you from the Lou Fews Automotive Studios on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, and coming up, you'll hear from Matt Adams and a podcast and a visit that we taped live from Hot Shot Sports Bar and Grill. That's next on Scoops with DannyMac.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with TheHomeLoanExpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. TheHomeLoanExpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
I don't know. This is my home now.
It is your home.
I had to get out of my hometown, small town of right around 1,000 people. So I had to get away from somewhere that, you know, I walk out of the house and everybody, you know, knows who I am. So here I have the privacy and, you know, I can go about my daily business and get my work done.
Is it walking around those St. Louis, you still stop though every day, pretty much, and someone says, Matt Adams, tell me about the Kershaw home run. Matt Adams, are you coming back to St. Louis? Matt Adams, tell me about the home run against Cincinnati. Matt Adams, what's going on in your life? I mean, when you're a Cardinal for life, even when you leave St. Louis. And that's kind of what it's like to be a St. Louis Cardinal, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I embrace it and I love it, you know, especially in the off season. You know, I get done with my workout, go out to lunch with, you know, my fiance, and, you know, people come up and say hi and, you know, ask how I'm doing and just treat me like a normal person. That's what I love about this town is everybody just, you know, you play for the Cardinals, but they love you as a person as well.
Pilates, I mean, you are big into Pilates. You've gotten yourself into incredible shape. And you think about where you were, let's say, 7-8 years ago as a professional athlete to where you're at now. How has Pilates, don't worry about that, how has Pilates changed your life? I mean, it's probably changed your life physically, surely, but maybe even mentally too.
Yeah, but I think it's not just Pilates, but it's my overall program.
What do you do?
That goes into it.
Like, so you wake up and give me an idea what you do.
I wake up and, you know, have a, you know, a good healthy breakfast, and then I go on my day with my workouts. And, you know, Monday through Friday, it's lifting, and then some days it's Pilates in the evening. And now I'm back in the cage swinging. So it's now, some days it's three workouts a day. So, but I think Pilates really helped me to just get a better understanding of my body and how my body is supposed to move in the field, in the box. It taught me how my body moves as a whole is the big thing.
Did you ever imagine being a guy that was growing up in a small town, as you mentioned, of 1,000, and then making it to the big leagues, and then all the things that come along with being a big leaguer, the fame, the accolades, the money, but, you know, just what it means to be a big leaguer? Did it ever dawn on you back in the day that that's what it's all about?
No, back in the day, you're in the backyard
just hoping,
dreaming,
right?
Yeah, dreaming of being up the bat, you know, bottom of the ninth, bases loaded, two outs in the World Series, and you have a chance to win the game. I think that's every kid's dream,
you know,
playing with their dad, playing with their buddies in the backyard. But, you know, once you make it, it's they say it's easy to make it once you get your foot in the door, but you got to work extra hard once you make it to stay here.
You agree with that?
I absolutely agree.
It's pretty hard to stay.
Yeah. I think it's, you got to make adjustments because the game, those pitchers out there on the mound are making adjustments pitch by pitch.
Right.
And you got to do the same thing at the plate, but also you got to make adjustments defensively as well. Like for me, I had to learn somewhat in quotations how to play left field, but that helped me out big time, even getting traded over to Atlanta when Freddie came back. And once he was done trying third base out, I was able to go out to left field and get some reps out there.
How tough was it going from catcher to first base? And people forget you were a catcher when you were drafted, and then you moved to first base. How tough was that transition initially?
Initially, it was tough just because I've never really played there but a handful of games my junior year in college. But I'm glad I don't. Seeing what those guys have to go through on a daily basis, I'm very, very happy that I'm out there playing behind them instead of back there as a catcher.
I bet. You're at Slippery Rock, and then all of a sudden you're playing, you know, professional baseball. So you got guys that are from all over the world that you're facing. And don't get me wrong, Slippery Rock, it's competitive, but it's not, you know, some guy that's in the low minor leagues that's throwing 95 and has no idea where the ball's going, which is a lot of times the case.
Yeah.
Okay. So Slippery Rock, it's 30 degrees and some guy's throwing 75. And then the next year, you're in somewhere that's kind of warm, low minor leagues, he's throwing 97 and has no idea where it's going. How do you make that adjustment?
Well, my sophomore year summer, I went away up to the NECBL,
okay,
up in New England, and played in a summer league. And I faced, it was all like Division I guys, big time prospect guys that had a chance to get drafted. So going up there and testing my game out up there against those guys, I feel like kind of got me ready, but you're not ready until you get in there and start facing those guys and knowing, you know, your time is going to be a little bit quicker. You got to, you know, not have as much movement going on to catch up to those, you know, fastballs that are in the upper 90s.
It's tough.
Real tough.
Real tough.
Especially nowadays when everybody is throwing 97 to 100.
Everybody's throwing that hard. What do you think when people say launch angle? So you get asked about, you know, the casual fan will say, Matt, what do you think about launch angle? What's your response to that? Do you buy into it? Do guys talk about it? Is it something that it's talked about around the cage in the clubhouse? What is, you know, what's launch angle to Matt Adams?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's definitely come, you know, into the game pretty fast.
Yeah.
And
so it is something.
Yeah. I think, you know, a lot of people may have taken it too far to where, you know, all they're trying to do is swing up on the ball and, you know, hit. That may work, you know, one out of five or six times, but I think to be a productive major league hitter, you gotta be able to, you know, shorten up your swing sometimes and just put the ball in play and just hit the ball where it's pitched. So for me, my main thing is getting a good pitch and just barreling it up, hitting it hard. And then after that, you know, whether your launch angle is 5 degrees or in the 20s, if you hit it hard, it has a good chance of, you know, becoming
finding a hole.
Yeah.
How much do you look at video? Are you a video guy?
I started out not being a real big video guy, but I think now, you know, I think it's almost mandatory that you look at some video. You don't want to be, you know, not to throw him under the bus, but Matt Carpenter, he's in there studying his swing every day, and it works for him. But I feel like some guys can't focus so much.
Because you can get lost in it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you look too much at it.
Yeah, you start thinking too much, and then you're thinking about, oh, what's my foot doing when I go into the box? Where when you get in the box, you only have time to think, you know, see the ball and hit the ball.
Hey, St. Louis, Dan McLaughlin here. This month, you'll start to see Schnucks stores popping up all over the city. Living in St. Louis, you know Schnucks is committed to the communities they serve. Now, there will be 19 new Schnucks stores in neighborhoods all around town. You'll also notice that prices are falling and your points will be piling up with the Schnucks Rewards app. So check out a new store near you. Come say hello. Visit schnucks.com for the full list of new stores. See you at Schnucks.
Who's the toughest guy you faced? That's a tough one. Because here's the life of Matt Adams. In my opinion, that makes it tough. Matt Adams can hit a ball 500 yards against anybody. However, managers love Matt Adams because Matt Adams can do it in the first inning, but he also can do it in the ninth inning. So they love guys who do it in the ninth inning. So they say, hey, Matt, grab a bat, get loose in the eighth. You're going in the ninth. The problem is there's really good guys that throw in the ninth.
Yeah.
So you get to go face those guys that are really good in the ninth. So you get you run the gamut. You get to face all the tough guys. So who's the toughest or some of the tough guys you get to face?
I mean, I think, you know, you're looking up at the, you know, the save leaders at the end of the year. Those guys are
Felipe Vasquez.
Vasquez, you know, the Diaz guy from the Mariners.
Tough.
Kimbrel. My last three ABs before I got traded to the Braves were Wade Davis and Kimbrel twice. So I think
good luck.
Yeah.
No fun.
Not fun, no.
Do you remember your first at bat?
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
It was Sunday Night Baseball in Dodger Stadium.
Yes, sir.
Chad Billingsley, I think, was the pitcher. My heart felt like it was jumping out of my chest. But those guys welcomed me with open arms and, you know, kind of calmed me down from the get-go. As soon as that, you know, I was there, my flight landed early, so I was in the clubhouse before the first bus got there. But when those guys got to the clubhouse, they, you know, they all came up congratulating me, and then it was, you know, time to get to work.
What's it like when you call family and friends and you say, I got the call, I'm going to the big leagues? What's that moment like when you're told that and then when you get to tell family and friends?
Yeah, it was hard because my dad was the one that first picked up the phone, and he was already crying. He thought I got injured because he was following along the game in AAA, and I got pulled in I think the third or fourth inning, and he gets a call before the game's over, and I'm like, no, I didn't get hurt. I'm going to LA to meet the team, and it's a great. I mean, it's, you know, it's a call that every kid hopes that he's able to make one day.
Do you ever go to Clayton Kershaw, or does he ever say to you something about the at-bat in the playoffs or any at-bat that you've had against him? Never.
No.
You're shaking your head. Okay. It's never talked about.
No. He's, you know, he's one of the best competitors this game's seen. So I think it's, you know, of course, it probably stuck with him for a while. But, I mean, he's got to let it go and get ready for the next year, just like Everybody in the league has to. You know, good or bad, you got to learn to, you know, flush that and be ready for the next moment.
Are you ready to give me an honest answer?
Yeah, sure.
How many times have you seen that highlight?
Quite a few times.
Quite a few times. Yeah. Was there a point where your buddies are showing it to you and you finally had to say, guys, I can't look at it anymore. I got to get ready for the next season, you know, next game, whatever, but I gotta move on.
Yeah, my my close group of four friends back home, they had it on repeat.
Did they really?
Probably the whole offseason, yeah. But I got to a point where I told them if they played it anymore, I wasn't coming around. So they,
and you were serious?
Yeah.
That was it?
Yeah, because I feel like, yeah, it was a great moment. But if you dwell on that, then you're not, your mind's not going to be where it needs to be to prepare for the next season.
Maybe a crazy question. Can you remember anything about going around the bases?
I felt like I wasn't touching the ground.
I bet it was, yeah.
But when I came in, I had to go down to the batting cage and kind of, you know, slap myself a couple of times to make sure that it was real and catch my breath because we still had two innings to play.
Yeah. The two home runs against Cincinnati. Do it yourself, big man.
That's a great call.
Thank you very much.
That was a great
call. Would you... I know you made some money, but I paid you to say that. No, believe me, you did the work. It was awesome. You know, that was baseball history. I mean, no one has done that before. No one did it before. No one has done it since. I'm not sure it'll ever be matched. When you think about that, that your name is attached to baseball history, does things like that ever resonate with you? Like, wow, I'm the only guy that's done something like that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's definitely cool to be able to cement your name in like you said, history means a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it means a lot to me and my family and, you know, all the sacrifices that they made to get me to where I am today. It's huge. But, I mean, the same thing with that moment. It was late and, I mean, I just wanted the game to be over with.
Everybody, including me, too.
Yeah.
I was ready to get out of there. A little boy, when you were a little kid, what was your favorite team? Who was your favorite player?
The Pirates were, I mean, just because
we were
smack dab in the middle of Pennsylvania. So my dad, you know, mom, we always went to, you know, the Steelers football games, Penguins, Pirates. We grew up Pittsburgh side. So that was it. And when Barry Bonds was a rookie, you know, the first couple of years in Pittsburgh, and then it after he left, started following Ken Griffey. I think every lefty in the game of baseball loves watching and trying to emulate Ken Griffey.
Ever have a chance to meet him?
I met him at the Daytona 500 the one year.
Did you?
Yeah,
we were. Did you go up to him and, you know, kind of have a little conversation with him?
Yeah, because I was sitting next to Harper. And he came up to talk to Harper and just kind of shook my hand and said hello that way. But I really had time to sit down and talk with his dad, which was, I was probably 8 to 10 years old.
Is that
right?
We
had like a sports banquet every year in my hometown. And the guy who was in charge of it would bring, you know, some professional athletes in. And senior was one of them. And I had a junior jersey and I took it with me. He's like, well, I'm not junior, but I'll sign it. I was like, yeah, sure, sign it. And then we just sat down and, you know, talked about the game and, you know, what he loved about it and growing up and doing it. And it was fun.
That's awesome. You know, Junior hit number 500 with his dad here in St. Louis on Father's Day, which is kind of a side note, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I see you tweet, though, all the time about the Blues. You're a pretty big Blues fan now. Like, you've switched allegiances to St. Louis teams.
Yeah,
have you not?
Absolutely.
Are you tight with some of the Blues players?
I wouldn't say tight. I've met a couple of them and, you know, went out to dinner and whatnot with a few of them just because my girl, she works with a few of them. So
okay. So she's working those guys out, Pilates, those kind of things, and you're just like, yeah, I'm Matt Adams, and I'm really cool, so no. You better be cool to me. So that, I get it. That's how you roll.
Those guys are cooler than me. They're going out on ice skating, pounding guys into the boards. And it's a fun sport, and I kind of got off of it for a little bit when I was in college and stuff. But, you know, coming back here, having a professional team in our backyard, you know, it's fun to be a fan again.
Did you play other sports growing up?
Played football 7th grade and then basketball up to my 11th grade year and then just focused on baseball.
I would imagine every coach that saw you wanted you to play football for sure.
Football and wrestling.
And wrestle, that's right.
My best friend's dad was the high school coach for wrestling every year.
Is that right?
You coming out? You trying out? No, it's not for me.
Baseball was it. Who's been the guy in terms of the Cardinals that's been the most influential for you? You know, the guy that's really kind of taken you under his wing and helped you and really, whether it be off the field or hitting-wise, fielding, all those things, but a guy that's really helped you along.
I think when I first came up, it was Freeze. You know, him and John Jay were the two that kind of grabbed me and just showed me the ropes a little bit. And then when they left, it was, you know, Yachty and Waino. Them two guys are, you know, they're true professionals. And just watching them go about their business on a daily basis and how they prepare. And, I mean, it's, you know, the game could get over at 2 a.m. and we have a day game the next day. And those two guys are the first ones there.
Are guys shocked at Yachty? I mean, I am, and watching, I've done just about every one of his games since he's been called up in 2004, and I'm amazed at how much he plays. I still am amazed at how much he plays, at the level he plays, but it's every single day. Are guys amazed at it too, or is it just kind of like, well, that's Yachty, that's what he does?
I think everybody's just like,
that's
who he is, but I think seeing it firsthand, that guy is not human.
Right.
The guy takes a beating. He's, you know, he's wanting to not come out of the game. That's just the type of competitor he is. And to have a guy at the head of, you know, leading the team, I think, you know, he kind of gets everybody to fall in line and, you know, push towards the same goal. And that's, you know, bring home a championship.
What was it like for you when you got the call this year? And as you know, I was fairly excited that you were coming back to St. Louis. The minute that it happened, I'm texting Matt. I think I was more excited about it than Matt was, that you were coming back to St. Louis. You got the call. Give me the phone call, the excitement, the emotions of it. What was it like for you that you knew you were coming back to St. Louis?
It was crazy.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be in the starting lineup that day in D.C., and I go in, get dressed, and I get called into the manager's office. Well, two things either happen. One, I'm going down to AAA, or two, I either got released or traded. And go in there and, you know, talk with the GM and, you know, Davey, and they tell me that, you know, I got traded. I got claimed on waivers by the Cardinals, and I was at a loss for words because I thought they were joking with me.
That I was
coming back. I just never thought that I'd be back this soon. I always wanted to come back and play, but just never knew that it was going to be this soon. And after, you know, kind of set in, I went out there and packed my locker up and made some calls and went home and was on a early flight to L.A.
And there you were. And you joined the club at the right time because in August the team goes 22-6 and then fell just a bit short. So now you're a free agent. What's it like hitting free agency? What's your life like in terms of, you know, just you wake up and I'm sure you kind of wonder right now. So just like a lot of guys are, what's that like for you right now?
The first couple of weeks it was kind of stressful just because I figured, you know, it would have some steam, you know, after the first round of meetings. But, you know, after talking with my agents and stuff, it's, you know, this time of the year is slow for free agency up until the, you know, the winter meetings. And so it's just kind of we're in a waiting period right now. And, you know, but it gives me the time to just focus on, you know, my training and make sure that my body's ready to go for 2019.
So again, are you going to tell me the truth here in my next question or not?
I kind of know where this question's going.
Would you like to come back to St. Louis?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. If the opportunity fits. I'm at the point in my career where I want to, you know, maximize my playing time as much as possible. But, you know, this is always going to be home for me, and, you know, the fan base is, you know, second to none. So it's always been a dream of mine to put the birds on the bat back on, and I got that opportunity this year. So, you know, maybe it's third time's a charm.
Absolutely. Have you reached out to the Cardinals, or have they reached out to you? Any kind of dialogue at this point?
No, we haven't really All I've heard was that there's a handful of teams that are interested, but I don't know who those teams are right now. So just kind of waiting until hopefully, you know, picks up some steam.
Just let your agent handle all that stuff. Good point. Yeah. What was your, like, welcome to the big leagues moment? Did you have that? Like, were you, maybe you might have been embarrassed. Maybe it was a home run. Maybe they dressed you up in a, you know, cheerleading outfit on a charter, whatever. But what was that welcome to the big leagues moment?
Definitely got to be the rookie dress up.
Yeah.
For sure. I was,
which they've curtailed a little bit, but.
Yeah.
But you were in the middle of it.
I wasn't in as good a shape back then. So I was glad that I wasn't in, you know, the Rams. Some of the guys got stuck being Rams cheerleaders. But I was a sailor captain.
A sailor captain.
And a blonde wig with a captain hat and a blue mini dress. So that was.
And who was all over you? Who was riding you?
Same group. Breeze, John Jay.
The same guys.
So, yeah.
The same guys that were good to you are also riding you.
Yeah.
Did you do it to anybody else?
No, that's not you my not, style.
That's not
no.
your style.
I'm
you're,
a quiet
you're,
guy
you're a good
when
guy.
It comes to that kind of stuff, yeah.
So you love also WWE, though, too, correct?
Yeah.
Somebody out there, we have one fan that's with you. Okay, good. how much are you into WWE? Still, are you follow it? You're
all
over.
I went to SmackDown last Tuesday.
It was like within the last week, right?
Yeah, it was last Tuesday.
Did you get good seats?
Front row.
Oh, sorry.
Front row, yeah.
front row, okay.
Nice. Yeah, I had to, Jordan Walden and I had an opportunity to meet Randy Orton.
Okay.
He came down to the field and, you know, kind of talked about what, you know, goes on with them. And it's crazy. I mean, they're traveling 295, 300 days out of the year. And it's wild. So getting to know the behind the scenes kind of stuff kind of got me back into it a little bit and following and watching Randy and whatnot. But I mean, it's fun to go live and see how athletic those guys are. I mean, it's unreal.
Is it real?
Some of it is. Most of it's not, though.
Oh, okay. So most of it's not.
Well, it's like a big play out there. I mean, they have storylines and they follow that, but still got to be a good athlete to go out there and do that night in and night out. So that's what I can appreciate.
No question. How many years now have you played pro ball? If you go back to your minor leagues combined with Major League Baseball, how many years you been in it?
Coming up on year 10.
Wow, year 10 and what, 6, 7 years in the major leagues now?
Going into 7th year in the big leagues.
What's the goal for you? 10 years of major? I mean, everybody wants to get to 10 years, right?
Yeah, I think the 10-year mark is, you know, just because that's the full pension kind of thing, you know, set yourself and your kids up. After that, I think that's everybody's goal. But I think once you get that, then there's another group of guys that just want to keep playing as long as they want.
I mean, it's a hell of an accomplishment to get to 10 years.
Absolutely.
Luke Fuse, we are St. Louis.
It's happened. It's now open. Lou Fuse Jeep, Highway K, O'Fallon, Missouri. The first standalone, ground-up Jeep store in the country. Largest Jeep inventory in St. Louis. If you want a Jeep, Lou Fuse Jeep is the place to go. 22 service bays, accessories, apparel, state-of-the-art facility. Lou Fuse Jeep, Highway K, O'Fallon, Missouri.
Lou Fuse, we are St. Louis.
Do you have personal goals that you set at the beginning of the year? Is there something that you want to get to? Like, do you ever say, I want to get to 30 home runs. Like, if I get a chance to get 500 bats, 30 home runs is my goal. Is that something that you think about?
I think for me, with the home runs, I just try to build off what I had the year before. And, you know, the previous year, 2017, I had career high. I finally got to 20. And then this past year, I got to 21. So it's
in limited time, too.
Yeah, just over 300 plate appearances.
Right.
So I think if I can continue to just, you know, getting better in, you know, one area of my game, you know, each year, I think that just helps me become a better all-around player.
Why is David Freese so good in October? It's unbelievable.
I don't know. That guy's got it in his blood to just be lights out in the playoffs.
World Series ring would be nice?
Yeah, absolutely.
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 And finally, these people are here to see you, by the way. So the St. Louis fans, I mean, why is it – and I do try to – somebody even asked me today. They said, why is it – different in St. Louis, and I tried to explain it, but coming from a guy that actually has worn their uniform two different times, so you do have great perspective on this, and drafted by the club, come through the system by, you know, and come through the system and developed and then played twice now for St. Louis. Why is it different in St. Louis? If you could try to explain it, how would you try to explain it?
I just think they're real fans.
Mm-hmm.
I think they, all the fans here get the game. They understand the game, whether the opposing guy makes, you know, a great dive and catch, 40,000 plus people are on their feet, giving them a standing ovation for the nice play. I think that goes more noticed than anything. I mean, talking with some of the guys on the Nationals and the Braves, you know, this is one of their favorite places to come play. And that's just because the fans are into every pitch of the game.
And they appreciate it, too. They appreciate the players. Yeah.
Yeah. And the effort. I mean, you know, there's sometimes where the effort, you know, may not be there. But you come out of that dugout to a loud crowd, that kind of gets your blood pumping and getting ready to play a game. So it's, you know, it's just a fun atmosphere to be able to put a baseball uniform on and go out there and play the game.
I'd love to see you back. Class act. And thanks for doing this.
Absolutely.
Awesome to have him out here. Matt Adams. Thanks, Matt. We appreciate it.
Thank you.